out in solid ground today, I should have said perhaps that everyone is welcome, but you are welcome out in solid ground as well. And if there is people within your own family that you feel would benefit from coming down there, having a more relaxed atmosphere and just listening to the service out there in solid ground, please let us know, and we can organise a lift for them to come along to that. So that started today, and there is a few folks out there this morning, and we hope that they'll feel God's presence as we come to worship Him. Let us come to God in prayer. Let us pray. Father God, we ask you just to unclutter our lives, Lord. We have too much. We consume too much and we expect too much. Grant us perspective to see this world through others' eyes than just our own. Grant us compassion where there is need to play our part and not turn aside. Grant us gratitude for what we have, our daily bread, and the gift of life. Unclutter our lives, Lord. Give us space, simplicity, thankful hearts. God of healing, God of wholeness, we bring our brokenness, our sinfulness, our fears and despairs, and we lay them at your feet. God of healing, God of wholeness, we hold out our hearts and hands, minds and souls to feel your touch and know your peace that only you can bring. God of healing, God of wholeness, this precious moment in your presence and power, grant us faith and confidence that here broken lives are made whole. Father God, we praise you. Praise you with all our hearts. And we pray, Father God, that you will surround us and guide us and be with us wherever we are, because you are an almighty God, a powerful God, a creative God. As we look around, Father God, we see so much beauty. And Father God, we thank you for it. And Father God, we know that we belong to you, that we can trust you. And you are more than able, Father God, to bring us through those toughest and darkest times and turn them into good. Father, we know that your presence is with us, and we can be assured in whatever we face, your plans are there for us. And as the psalmist says, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning. Praise the God, our Heavenly Father. Amen. Okay, I just want to invite Wallace Muir up into the pulpit now. Wallace is a clerk of session up in Scrabble Presbyterian Church in Newton Arts. And this is the second time Wallace has done this morning. So you're very welcome, Wallace. And maybe if you stand, I could just pray with you a wee minute, Wallace, before we let you carry on. Father God, we just pray for your hand to be upon Wallace. Father, we pray that his words would be your words. And we pray that the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable to you, O Lord our God. But we just pray for your spirit to lift up Wallace. Father, we know that he's already done this once this morning, and we pray that his words will be stronger now than they were the first time, and that they will speak to everyone within this place. In Jesus' mighty name, we lift them up to you. Amen.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It is great to be here, and thank you for the warm welcome, and Neil for the invitation to come and take the service here this morning. I've drove past the front of the Grey Abbey Church many a time at that junction, and always wondered what it was like to be in here. Now I know, and it's high up here. But we are here to worship God, and we're here to hear God's word and to hear what God has to say to us. And we're going to do that now. We're going to listen to God's word as we turn to our reading, which is John chapter 21, verses 1 to 14. John chapter 21. And this is a well-known passage. It's one of the appearances of Jesus after the resurrection to his disciples. It's the passage of the miraculous catch of fish. So John chapter 21. This is the word of God. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. And he said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment round him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat, dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. But Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and he did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Amen. May God bless this reading to us. I'm going to come and bring our prayers for others in just a few moments, but just want to mention that I was listening this morning in Clocky and seeing the people here today doing the running for Abana. I done it probably about 10 years ago, the marathon, not the whole thing, but the leg of the marathon is great. It's a great atmosphere, and it's great to have it finished as well, mind you. So enjoy yourselves tomorrow, make the most of it, and I think the sun's going to shine, so take plenty of water. So we're going to pray for you and for the work of Abana. We'll pray as well just for things within our own heart, things within our own community, for our schools and for our young people, and for those that are sick. So let's turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you with thankful hearts, for we know and we acknowledge that you are a God who hears and answers our prayers. Father, we have comfort in knowing that you are sovereign over all, your kingship over everything, and in that knowledge, we bring before you our prayers for others. Father, this week in our prayers, we bring before you the people of Uganda, a country rich in so many ways with resources and the beauty of your creation. Yet, Lord, there is so much poverty and so much hopelessness among many within that country. It saddens us, Lord, to see that and to hear the news from that place. Lord, we pray especially for the children who are living in the streets of Kampala and who are vulnerable to abuse and to attack. Those who struggle to find food each day to eat. Thank you for the Christians who are there serving you. Thank you that they have a love for these children and they want to help them to have a better life. Lord, we pray for the work of organizations such as Abana, who run day programs and who show your love to those children by playing games and providing medical care for them, and also telling them about you. Lord, we ask that these children are provided for. We pray for the local readers or leaders and government in that land. We pray that decisions that are made fairly in everyone's interests. The corruption will not break out among the things that they do. And we pray that the needs of vulnerable people are met. But remember those within this congregation who you have placed that desire to help and to support these projects. We pray as they take to the streets of Belfast tomorrow that you protect them. Give them the strength and the fitness that they need. May they know your blessing as they show your love in a practical way to those that may never know or meet. Father, we pray too for those closer to home, even within our own towns and villages who are struggling to manage each day to put enough food on the table or to heat their homes. Remember those who reach out in support through food banks and through groups like Christians Against Poverty. We ask that your name may be glorified through the work in this practical way. Father, as we approach the summer months, remember our young people that are dear to us, who are getting ready for exams in the coming weeks. We know these days can be stressful and worrying for many, and we ask for your guidance as they study and they think about their future. Help them to take time to rest, and to rest in you and rest in fellowship with their friends. Help each one through this period, and may they know your peace in the exam halls. Gracious God, we know and we hear financial difficulties facing our schools at present. We pray for principals and teachers and school governors who are trying to manage within these constraints. We ask for your wisdom and as decisions are made. And we pray especially for the local schools in this area close to this church. Thank you for the many disciples of yours who work in and serve as teachers and as governors. We pray that you help them as they seek to guide our young people and maintain an ethos that centers on you. Loving Father, this week again has been brought to your attention the news that the frailty of our bodies, with waiting lists and recalls to hospitals hitting the headlines. We know the stress and the worries when we or our loved ones are sick, and perhaps we don't know what is wrong and when we are waiting on test results. Father, you are the great healer. You are the giver of strength and the God of all comfort. We pray and we ask for healing of those close to us within this congregation who are ill, whether it's minor illness or have something more serious, both in body and in mind. Lord, we pray for their healing. We pray for medical care and for the attention they receive. Remember those on our hearts now in silence before you. Father, we pray this morning for this church and this congregation. Thank you for the ministry and the witness within this village and in this area, for the blessings and answered prayer that is so evident among your people. We pray that those within this area will be drawn not just to a church, but will be drawn to you because of the witness of your people living out their lives in these communities. We pray for Neil as he ministers, particularly with the additional responsibilities he's had over the last year. And Father, we remember all our ministers in our churches. Renew their strength each day. May they find rest in you. And we pray that you build them up, that they may be equipped for the work they've been called to do, to pastor and to teach and to lead. And we pray that for the leadership and all your disciples within this church, strengthen them and build them up as a family, that they may minister and disciple each other, bringing glory to your name. Almighty Father, we trust that you hear our prayers and our petitions. We place them in your hands, and we pray them in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. I'm going to turn now to look at that passage that we read earlier on. So if you have your Bibles, it would be good to open them and keep them on your knee and check the things that I'm saying to make sure I'm not making it up. So it's John chapter 21. But I've entitled this sermon, A fishing trip to remember. I'm not sure I know in Clocky, probably closer to the sea and more fishermen there. There's probably more farming land, I'd imagine. But I want to talk about fishing today and a fishing trip to remember. I'm really a city boy, originally from Londonderry, so I don't know that much about fishing. But I'm sure there may be the odd fisherman or fisherwoman down around this part. But all I've learned about fishing, I've learned it on TV. I love to watch the series that was on a few years ago called Trawler Men. It's about fishermen in the Irish Sea and in the North Sea. And there's another similar program I started watching recently, and it's called The Deadliest Catch. You know, these programs, they fascinate me. Because there's the adventure of the fish, of the fishing. There's the excitement of the catch. There's the danger involved in it. And I always enjoy watching all the greenhorns, all the new boys to the crew, never been out to sea before and no idea what they're going to face. You know, that would be me. I went out mackerel fishing in Port Stewart a few times, and that's far enough. Don't take me any further. Don't take me out one of those trawlers, and no chance of surviving. But the part of these programs that always really grips me is the anticipation of when they bring the nets in. The not knowing of what's going to be in the net. What are you going to see when they pull the net up and it breaks the surface of the water? Perhaps they see some weird, wonderful fish at times. And there's the big hauls when the nets are full and the men are delighted to see everything. The skipper rubs his hands because he knows he's going to make some money. And all his hard work has been worth it. But then there's the times when the net comes up and it's empty. It's times when there's really a small catch. And it's maybe been the second or third time that that's happened. There's not much celebration. There's not much joy in the boat. Disappointment. Wondering what is going on. Where should I cast the net the next time? You often hear the skippers say, what's the point of spending the money? What's the point of going out to sea, having so little to show for it? Well, in this passage this morning, we see both these expressions, the joy being played out and the disappointment. The thrill of a massive catch and the disappointment of an empty net. That's why there was a fishing trip to remember. And it was especially something for Peter to remember. But when we look at what Peter was doing, what on earth was he doing out fishing anyway? Peter, all of a sudden, has turned back to his old life. He's turned back to the things that he used to do, to his old calling. He's now out fishing again for fish. Fishing for himself, fishing for his own needs and the own things that he desires. So why has he turned to that? Why has he turned away from what the 3 years he spent with God or with Jesus? Well, remember what he was up to in the last number of weeks. The night Jesus was arrested, Peter was the man. He was going to protect Jesus. He was going to stand up for him, never going to leave him, even if everybody else does. But yet a few hours later, challenged by a young girl and the others in the courtyard, Peter denied him. He said, I don't know him at all. Don't associate me with Jesus. You know, how disappointed he must have been in himself. Peter had loved Jesus. Peter knew and he believed who Jesus was. Matthew 16, verses 15 and 16 reads, what about you? Jesus asked. Who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. He knew Jesus. He knew he was the Son of the living God. Yet when the pressure was on, Peter let Jesus down. You know, Jesus continued in that in verse 17. I tell you, Peter, you are the rock I will build my church upon. Now, I'm not sure Peter felt much like that right now. Didn't feel much of a rock. I'm sure he considered himself a failure, and I suspect he thought to himself, Jesus thinks I'm a failure as well. What use could I be to Jesus now? Why should he even want to be bothered with me? Why would Jesus trust me to do anything for him? So what did Peter decide to do? Just do what he used to do. Something that he knew he was good at. Something he could be trusted to do. Go fishing for fish. Do something useful. something that he thought he could get satisfaction from. And what about you and what about me? Have we ever let God down? Have you ever let God down? Maybe you've been in that situation where you've had the opportunity to speak to someone about Christ or about what God has done in your life. Or even just to say that you love the Lord and you are his disciple. But you've ended up chickening out. You've been afraid to admit it in case people think you're odd or in case you are ridiculed or dropped from a certain group of friends. You know, I've been there. I'm sure many of you have been there too. You know what I'm talking about. My normal job is working in Bombardier, or Shorts as most people still call it. Started there at the age of 16, and there's about another 100 of us started the same day. I was a Christian at the time, but there's no way that I was telling those other people I was a Christian. There's no way. I was going to let them know that I had a relationship with Christ. Never mind start talking to them about Jesus. There's no way I was going to be associated with Jesus in their presence. Why did I do it? Because it was easy. Or at least I thought it was easier. I would just be like everyone else. I wouldn't stand out as being different. But you know, I went home and I felt bad about it. When I thought about it, I examined myself. I knew I was wrong. I knew I was letting God down. I felt the failure. I wasn't doing what God had wanted me to do. I was living a secret life with these men that I was working with, and I was letting God down. You know, I wanted to, and I'm sure all of us want to do great things for God. I wanted to see people come to know Jesus and to give their lives to him. And I knew that what I should be doing, I wasn't doing. I was just fishing for fish. I was doing things for myself. Just getting on with being a Shorts apprentice and blending in. What is or what has been your failure towards God this morning? What's that one big thing, that the sin in your life that has disappointed you because you know you've let God down? You know, friends, this morning, don't let your failures or your disappointments drive you back to your old life that you had before Jesus. Don't let your failures send you back to the old things that you used to do. You know, Peter was discouraged, but he shouldn't have been. He'd already seen the risen Lord. He already knew what Jesus had promised him. Where Jesus had promised the Holy Spirit would be given. But Peter just couldn't see past that disappointment. He couldn't see past his failures. And he allowed Satan to fill his mind with these things. And to fill his mind that Jesus wouldn't look past his failures either. You know, don't let Satan tell you you're not good enough. Don't let Satan tell you that you'll be better packing this life in and returning to your old ways. Because you're not good enough for him. Guard yourself. Guard each other within this fellowship that you don't fall against that. You don't turn away because of things that you've done in the past. You know, during this period of between Peter's denial and this episode, Peter felt that he was drifted away from Jesus. He knew there was a distance between him and Jesus. He's no longer seeking him or following his lead or his direction. But the reality was completely different from what Peter thought. Jesus was standing on the shore. Jesus was not far from him. Verse 8 tells us it was about 100 yards. I don't know if you know what 100 yards looks like. It's about the height of Big Ben, or it's, for those that play football, it's slightly less than the length of a football pitch. Or as I'm sure as you go down around the peninsula, you see roadworks, you always see the signs, 300 yards, 200 yards, 100 yards, not that far away. You know, take encouragement today. No matter where you are or how far you feel from God, he's not far from you. He's watching. He's waiting on the shore. He's overseeing what you're doing and ready for you to turn to him and to recognize him. It says in the passage, the other disciple, who we believe is John, recognized Jesus first. And he recognized that because he saw the work of Jesus. But Peter didn't recognize him until it was pointed out. Jesus was the last person on his mind. You know, you may feel you've left God, that He's somewhere out there at a distance, somewhere unreachable to you, perhaps uninterested in you, and you're discouraged and you feel abandoned. But do take encouragement. God does not abandon those who are His. God does not abandon His followers and disciples. God is there, watching and waiting on you, looking towards Him, waiting for you to recognize Him. You know, Peter had been fishing for his own purposes, his own satisfaction. But we see a big change in verses 5 and 6. Because we see Jesus intervene in this fishing trip. Jesus calls out from the shore, "Friends." And it's not just a type of question from a random stranger. It was a greeting of love, a greeting of someone who had a relationship. "Friends, haven't you any fish?" Jesus knew full well that they hadn't. But Peter and the others were disappointed. No, they caught nothing. Their old life wasn't bringing them any more encouragement or any more satisfaction. You know, when we're discouraged and we're living our lives and working to our own satisfaction, there's not much joy in it. It's not the joy that we hope to have, especially if we've already known the joy of Christ and we have known the joy of fellowship with Him and the joy of serving and working Him and serving for His purposes. Peter and the disciples had lost that. But verse 6, Jesus told them, "Throw the net on the other side of the boat." And did He say that you might find some fish? No. He said that you will find some fish. It's only the width of the boat that made the difference, from the left-hand side to the right-hand side. Or was it? It was the intervention of Jesus that made the difference. And what a difference it did make. With a full net of fish, so much that they couldn't even get it on board. 153 fish in total. And apparently fishermen do like to count fish. But I think they really recorded the number here because it was something beyond everyone's wildest dreams. This was not an accident. This was Jesus and a miraculous catch. Again, we see that powerful lesson being taught here, a lesson that will encourage Peter and encourage the disciples. A lesson actually that they were willing to listen to and willing to embrace. Because who in their right mind, after fishing all night and catching nothing, would throw the net on the other side just because some stranger had told them? Someone who doesn't know anything about fishing. But the instructions here were not questioned. They do it. They throw the net over on the other side, and what a result they get. The lesson being taught is they're now fishing following Jesus' plan. They're following Jesus' direction, and they're fulfilling Jesus' purpose. You know, what I do like about mackerel fishing out in the boat is the man who owns the boat, or the fisherman, knows exactly where the fish are usually. He checks it on his sonars, and he tells us what to do and when to drop our lines. And it's fairly easy, just drop it in, and a wee while later, pulled up, and there's fish there. You know, Jesus knew exactly where the fish were. He knew exactly where and when to drop the nets. In this case, it seemed daft what they were being asked to do. But when they were close to God, when we're listening to God's voice, we can end up doing things that don't seem right on the surface, that don't seem to make sense. Sometimes we end up doing things that maybe actually even go against our natural instinct, against what we think we should be doing. But with God, working to God's purpose, following in God's will, the impossible becomes possible. The fish that couldn't be found all night were now found in the net because we were doing Jesus' work and following Jesus' direction. And look at the difference it made. Look at the joy brought back into that situation that morning. From discouragement and hopelessness to delight and realization that there is someone greater, someone who knows better, someone who is in control, and who knows and guides what we are doing. Who's that someone? God. Who did He use? He used the discouraged, the failed Peter. He can use you too, in the same way. Verse 7, we see the transformation in Peter's life that took place just in those few moments. The moment that he realized that Jesus was on the shore. You know, there's a realization, an understanding that Jesus hadn't abandoned him. It's an understanding that Jesus was there waiting for him to turn back and to follow him. I'm sure Peter remembered the occasion several years earlier when he had spent the night fishing and caught nothing until Jesus directed them that time to. Luke 5 records that episode. Peter's reaction at the time was Luke 5 verse 8, that he fell at Jesus' knees and he said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." He knew he couldn't be in Jesus' presence because of his sin. But this time there's a different reaction from Peter, completely opposite. Although he knew he was still a sinful man, he knew that he could experience the forgiveness of Christ. Christ was not going away from him, but waiting on Peter to come to him. And in the joy of that moment, Peter gets dressed, gets out of the boat, runs to his Lord, and is welcomed back into fellowship with Jesus. You know, Christ was showing Peter, despite the past that he had, despite the failures that he had done, and his sinfulness, that he still loved him. Jesus wanted to restore him, and restore him to service. He wanted to do the things through Peter and use him as the rock to build his church. You know, friends, despite what has went on in the past in your life, when we put our trust and our faith in God, when we listen to his voice and follow in his direction, what a difference in the results we can expect. Is God waiting on you to turn to him so he can call you again his own and bring you back into his service? There's a process going on here in Peter's life. Jesus was working through that process to restore and to refine Peter. He's teaching, he's transforming him, preparing him for the work that he's going to call him to do, work to do in Jesus' name. Well, Peter could have been the best fisherman in all of Galilee. He could have had all the training that he needed. He could have had all the best equipment in the world. But he was totally ineffective until Jesus spoke. Totally ineffective until he listened and obeyed God's command and put the net on the other side of the boat. You know, do you want to be effective for Christ today? Then put your full and undivided trust in his direction. Follow his lead. And then count and receive the blessings from serving him. There was a part of this story that has often passed me by as I've read it. The last number of weeks has come real to me. That's verses 9 to 12. Because when they landed, there was a fire already burning with coals on it, with fish and some bread. And Jesus said, "Bring some of the fish you have caught." But the big bit is verse 12. Jesus said, "Come and have breakfast with me." You know, what a wonderful God we have. Jesus already had been cooking fish. He doesn't need us to do his work, but he lets us work in partnership with him. He allows us to work with him and to share then in the joy and the blessings of that work. You know, look at the blessings that Jesus gives to Peter and the disciples here. And the grace we see in action as he says, "Come, have breakfast." You know, even those who have failed him, he welcomes into fellowship when they come to him. When they confess their sin and put their trust in him and him alone, Jesus welcomes them, brings them to eat together, to receive the blessing of being with him, being fed by him, being sustained by him, and then working for him. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient to eat the best, you will eat the best from the land." Now, where is there best to eat? To be refreshed and sustained, to be built up, than on the beach with Christ. Let him encourage and sustain you in the work you've been called to. You know, right after this passage, in the next bit, is where Peter is fully restored and then commissioned to the work of God. Jesus asked him to leave his old work, to leave his old life behind, and to fully devote himself to his service. You know, I can't help reading this passage without being drawn back to that calling of Peter and his brother Andrew right at the very start of Jesus' ministry. Matthew 4:19, "Come follow me," Jesus said, "I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. You know, if you're a disciple of Christ this morning, God has called you in the same way to be a fisherman, fisher of men. If you've been discouraged, if you're feeling that you have nothing to offer God because of your past sinfulness, then get out of that boat. Get to the shore, confess your sins, and then accept that invitation to breakfast. Accept the fellowship with God, and then serve him. Let him work through you to lead men and women and children to him. What's God calling you to do today? Where is he asking you to go? In faith, follow God's direction. In faith, accept his strength and his power. Cast your net where God is telling you to go to be a fisher of men. And then have joy. Rejoice in the blessing of serving your Lord and King. Amen. Let us pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that as we see Peter being restored, we recognize ourselves in that. Each of us are sinful people. Each of us have let you down in our past and have not looked towards you and looked to your direction as we should. Forgive us for that. Yet, Lord, we rejoice in the knowledge of restoration. And we rejoice, Lord, in the knowledge that you have called us to do a work for you. We pray, Lord, that you guide our thoughts, you guide our minds, and help us, Lord, in the calling that you have given us to be fishers of men. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we stand here this morning as children of the promise, and we fix our eyes on you, our soul's reward. As we go out this week, we walk by faith and not by sight. May our faith be in you in all the places that we experience and all the things that we do this week. And we ask that by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of us now and forevermore. Amen.